There was so much happening in Ottawa in that spring of 1925 that the visit from the government inspector to the studio barely registered with the women. But that, of course, was just what Radium Dial wanted. In the wake of the New Jersey cases, a national investigation into industrial poisons had been launched by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which was based in the capital, Washington, D.C. The Bureau was run by Ethelbert Stewart. His agent on the ground was a man called Sven Kerr. And when Kerr met with Rufus Fordyce, Radium Dial's vice president, ahead of coming to inspect the Ottawa studio, he was requested to handle the subject carefully so as not to cause an alarm among the workers. Maybe as a result, only three girls would even be questioned. Kerr began his study in April 1925. He went first to the Chicago office of Radium Dial, where he interviewed Fordyce and some laboratory workers. Kerr noticed the latter had lesions on their fingers. The lab workers acknowledged that radium was a dangerous material to handle unless proper safeguards are provided. Consequently, the men in Radium Dial's laboratory were provided with them. Kerr noted that operators were well protected by lead screens and also given vacations from work to limit their exposure. On 20th of April, Kerr arrived in the little town of Ottawa for the studio inspection. His first port of call was to speak with Miss Murray, the superintendent. "Why," she told him, "I never heard of any illness which might in the slightest manner be caused by the work." In fact, she went on, "instead of proving detrimental to the health of the girls, I know of several who had seemingly derived benefit from it and showed decidedly physical improvement." Kerr asked her about lip pointing. She told him that the girls had been admonished not to tip the brushes in the mouths without washing them carefully first in the water provided for such a purpose. But she conceded, tipping in the mouth is constantly practiced. Kerr could see that for himself as he toured the studio the same day. Every single girl there was lip pointing, yet they were all, he noted, healthy and vigorous. On the day he toured the plant, he observed that the girls did have water on their desks in which they were cleaning the brushes. But later, when Fordyce supplied him with a photograph of the studio taken at a different time, Kerr noticed that water was not in evidence on the tables. As part of his inspection, Kerr also interviewed Ottawa's dentists to find out if they'd come across any extraordinary conditions of the mouth in their patients. In New Jersey, it had been Doctors Barry and Davidson who had first raised the alarm. Should there be a problem in Ottawa, too, it seemed logical that its dentist might be the first to know of it. And so he called on three different dentists on that April afternoon, including one who had the largest dental practice in town. That dentist took care of a number of the girls employed at the factory. He told Kerr there had been no evidence of malignant disorder. He promised to notify the Bureau promptly in case anything should turn up. The other dentists, too, gave the girls a clean bill of health. They took pains to state, in fact, that there seemed to be very little dental trouble among those workers. Kerr spent only 3 weeks on his national study, an incredibly short time given the size of the country and the potential gravity of the situation, before it was suddenly stopped.